So today we celebrate our patronal feast day as a church and school, the solemnity of the Holy Trinity. So over 100 years ago, when our forefathers and mothers were building up this parish, establishing a Catholic parish right in the center of our community of Winsted, even before most of the other buildings were built around us, for some reason, they wanted to dedicate this temple to the most central mystery of our faith, which is the mystery of the Holy Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is a mystery that was only revealed gradually over time. For thousands of years, believers in the one true God of Israel did not know that God was a Trinity. Throughout the whole Old Testament, as God was leading his people gradually over the centuries, educating them, forming them, helping them to become more and more prepared for the ultimate revelation of himself in Jesus Christ, those Israelites, our forefathers and mothers, had no idea that God was not only one, but that there was three persons within the one Godhead. And so it wasn't until God the Father sent his Son to be made flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then that Son would grow up into a man and would leave their home at Nazareth and begin to preach and teach, heal, cast out demons. It wasn't until then that the revelation of who God is in his innermost self actually came to be known again gradually. Jesus would tell his disciples that he is the image of the Father, and that those who see him, Jesus, see the Father. That was scandalous to a lot of people, that Jesus would imply that there's some sort of equality between him and God the Father. That's why a lot of people were so turned off by Jesus, because they didn't want to hear that kind of language. They thought it was blasphemous, even. Eventually then, as Jesus got closer to his passion and death on the cross, he would begin talking to his apostles about a third person, the Holy Spirit. And that's what we heard today in this gospel from John, which takes place during the Last Supper. Jesus says to his disciples, "When he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine." So here we have Jesus talking about the Trinity. He mentions his Father and how everything that is the Father's is the Son's. And then he mentions the Holy Spirit, and he says, "Everything that's mine, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send, is going to be given now to you." It's amazing. A Father who for all eternity pours himself out into the Son, generating the Son, and then the Son from all eternity reflecting that love of the Father back to the Father. So there's an eternal exchange of love, and this love is so powerful and potent that it actually is a whole nother person, the Holy Spirit. St. Augustine would describe the Holy Trinity in this way: the lover, who's the Father, who loves the beloved, who's the Son. And their mutual bond of love between them is also person, the Holy Spirit. So this helps us to make some sense of the revelation that St. John gives us in his first letter, where he says, "God is love." If I were the only thing existing in all of the universe, love would be impossible, because love always implies the existence of another, someone besides me, whom I can love and receive love back from. And then there's an exchange of love, who in God is himself person, the Holy Spirit. So as the disciples were hearing this from Jesus at the Last Supper, they probably had no idea what he was talking about. The Holy Spirit? Jesus, we never know what you're talking about. But they would, when they finally received that Holy Spirit, which is what we celebrated last weekend at Pentecost. The disciples receive the Holy Spirit, and they're given that spirit of understanding, so that now they know in a fuller way who God is. And that gift of the Holy Spirit in them was a source of great joy. So I guess there's really two miracles that we acknowledge today. First of all is that God told us this to begin with. He didn't have to, and for more than 2,000 years, he didn't tell his people who he was in his innermost self, but he chose to reveal himself to us. He wanted us to know who he really is, a communion of love. So as if that wasn't a big enough miracle or gift itself, our scriptures are so clear today in telling us that this matters in our life, because God doesn't just stay up in the heavens somewhere, but actually God wants us to be participants in his own nature, which is why St. Paul says in our second reading today, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The Holy Spirit, who is one of the divine persons, equal in divinity and majesty with the Father and the Son, who is sent into me and to you. And when does that happen? What happens at our baptism? That's the gift that parents give their children when they bring them to the baptismal font. They give them the new life of the Holy Spirit, who comes into them and unites them with Christ. So that the Father, then looking at that little baby, girl or boy, sees his Son because of what the Holy Spirit's done. He sees his Son there in that child and says, "Ah, my beloved son, my beloved daughter." It's amazing. And then at our confirmation, that gift of the Holy Spirit is renewed within us, deepened, the gifts of the Holy Spirit unlocked, given a capacity within us. Every time we come to Holy Communion, who is it that we receive but God himself, who humbles himself so much that he makes himself present at this altar, lives in our tabernacle here, and then comes down into our stomach. It's pretty humble. It's an amazing humility that God shows, that he would want to come down into our very bodies through our digestive system, but then into our hearts. It's amazing. So I was thinking about this morning as I was doing my normal Sunday routine. I unlocked the church. I took a shower. I was making my coffee. And I was thinking this morning, and I don't always think about this because I'm a weak sinner like everybody else, but I was thinking this morning, wow, God lives upstairs in the rectory, because we have a little chapel in the rectory where we reserve the Blessed Sacrament, and that's where Father John and I do our prayer each day. And I was thinking, wow, it's amazing that God's upstairs. And then as I was just making my coffee, I had this thought, oh my gosh, God isn't just upstairs. God is inside of me right now. And I said, I'm sorry, Lord, that I don't think of that more often. That you actually live in me. not because I'm a priest, but because I'm a baptized, confirmed person. And that I have access to you every moment of the day, no matter what I'm doing. How generous you are, Lord. Today, as we celebrate this mystery of our patronal feast day of our church and school, we give thanks to God for this incredible gift of the knowledge of who he is in his innermost being, information that he does not need to share with us. But out of love, he's chosen to. And as if that weren't enough, our own participation in the divine life through the Holy Spirit that he gives us to us in the sacraments, it's extraordinary. So maybe we can ask today for the grace to be more attentive to this gift of God who lives within us, this gift of love, the Holy Spirit, that we would never feel alone, that we would never think that we're alone, that at every moment we would know how loved we are because God himself has humbled himself to live and dwell in us.